listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is the Spirit of Life Metaphysics Radio Program, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Michael
Good
Kelly
evening,
and Dr.
And
Vicki Hunter.
To the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, November 12th. My name is Michael Kelly. I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Well, good evening, Michael. You know, as always, I'm glad to be here. We're going to have a great conversation tonight.
We very much are. It's going to be a great topic. And I always love having you here. I always love having the people that join us live in the chat. You know, I love seeing you every week. And, you know, it's something that you say every week, so I know that it kind of loses its meaning over time, but I really do. I look forward to catching up with you people. Lord help me, I love you all, and I appreciate your contributions, but I also appreciate those that take the time to catch up with us from our archives. And, you know, we do get some feedback from you guys, too, so we do hear you when you send that in. We appreciate it. As always, Spirit of Life is an educational and, is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. And of course, we're going to start tonight with our nine abbreviated principles of belief. Those are: 1. Do no harm, do right. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And finally, 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. So, tonight's topic, I think you had suggested this last week, Dr. Vicki, the idea of non-local consciousness.
You know, I did, because... And we're going to get to it shortly. Dan Brown's most recent book, The Secret of Secrets. Whoa. It's a little different than his previous books. And I'm going to get into it in a few minutes, that what inspired me to want to address this. Because we've talked about consciousness before, Michael. Mm-hmm. But I love a new spin.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we have to go back and say, like, what is consciousness, right? Like,
right.
There's the – if everybody – you know, in the chat who's live or in the archives listening, go back to your M2. That's in the master's program. I forget. I know, have it somewhere where it is at Thomas Francis University. But, I mean, that's actually M2 is my favorite course in the whole program. The easy problem of consciousness involves explaining, and I'm taking this from M2, page 2. And this is in segment 2. I had to go back and check. Explain the objective processes of the brain. You know, circuits, algorithms, mechanisms, functions, and kind of likened to a computer chip. And that would be more folks who kind of believe that when you die, you die.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when it's over, it's over.
Mm-hmm.
The hard problem of consciousness, it's, you know, as Dr. Kelly writes, it's more mysterious and elusive. There's a whole number of things. Basically, we could start with self-awareness. You know, we have a certain, mm-hmm. An awareness to ourselves, but there's a whole list of things we can ask, even right down to psychic abilities and where do those things come from. And contrary to some people's opinions, a lot of that has been proven, and I'm going to get to that in a bit. But if we go to, in the M2 course, we go to segment 3, is the science of consciousness. And Dr. Kelly really, you know, laid this out beautifully. Carl Jung with synchronicity.
Mm-hmm.
I'm moving along because we've got the super consciousness, what they call the Akashic Record, Cosmic Library,
mm-hmm.
Consciousness and Causality. It really is a good course, you guys, if you haven't done it anyway before. Plant consciousness. Cleve Baxter, you know, back in the 60s, even did, he was a polygraph expert. He did some tests on plants and realized that they're responsive also and could very well have their own consciousness, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have a global consciousness. So, you know, this is a topic, like, even if you're graduated from the school, go back to M2 and just go through it again, because it's brilliant. It takes a little while to digest. It's been a long time since I've read it. But remember the first law of thermodynamics. You know, energy doesn't end, it just changes form. So, you know, keeping that in mind. So really, consciousness, who are we?
Mm-hmm.
Where does that come from? More than just a mass of cells and a bunch of brain circuits, you know, who are we?
Mm-hmm.
So, which leads me to Dan Brown. So I have to preface and qualify. He writes in it's part of the preface to his book. All experiments, technologies, and scientific results are true to life. All organizations in this novel exist. And all artwork, artifacts, symbols, and documents in this novel are real. Now, reading the back of the book, he spent 6 years writing this book.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, it's fictional. And yes, there's a lot of intrigue and mystery and typical of a Dan Brown book.
Mm-hmm.
I just couldn't put this book down. But, you know, he's thanking a lot of people and organizations in the back, including, let me just go here, the Global Consciousness Project, the Center for Consciousness Science. Like, his list is long. And it talks a lot about, in the book, it comes up that all those experiments from the 50s and 60s of remote viewing and so on are still alive and well. So, there's still, oh, and I have to mention this, there's an Institute of Noetic Sciences. So, again, now I don't want to give away the plot because anybody, so I'm going to be really careful. But the gist of it is, he and his girlfriend Catherine go to Prague. She is a brain researcher scientist. She's been invited to give a talk, and he goes along for the ride. And, of course, wouldn't you know it, and in true Langdon style, he gets caught up in all kinds of stuff. but she's explaining about a book she's releasing and what it's basically about. So I'm going to paraphrase for a minute. Part of her research that she claims to have, again, this is a character, folks, fiction, but the science of it is true. She determined that we basically have a filter system in our brain. So, and what makes that filtering system? So when you're able to focus on something, the brain is having some kind of response where you're able to filter it out. And you know how you see all these, you can in the sunlight see all the flecks of particles in the air, Michael, but
mm-hmm.
otherwise we filter it out because our brains can't possibly stay awake and aware of, like, everything. That would be, mentalists can do that. Mentalists are hyper aware, and that's the ventromedial prefrontal cortex in the third eye location. Some people are really sensitive, some people aren't. But she takes it deeper. So I'm going to read this. Selective attention is a prime example of filtering by the brain. It's called the cocktail party effect. You're at a party and your brain is focused solely on an individual that you're having a conversation with. Habituation is another kind of filtering. Repeated sensory inputs blocked by your brain so effectively that you literally cannot hear the incessant hum of an air conditioner or even feel the pair of glasses on your nose. So that's kind of habituation filtering. So this is where it gets trippy. Modern neuroscience has now identified the actual biological mechanism by which the brain filters out incoming data. It's called GABA. Gamma aminobutyric acid. So I'm going to say it again. Gamma aminobutyric acid, otherwise known as GABA. It's a chemical messenger in your brain that plays a role in regulating brain activity. It's an inhibitory agent. So this is where it really caught me, Michael, because it inhibits this particular amino acid, inhibits, it's the filterer to all the other stuff that mm-hmm. we don't pay attention to. So it decreases neuronal firing and constrains the overall activity of neurons. So GABA shuts off parts of the brain in an effort to filter out excessive input. In our most basic understanding, GABA filtering ensures the brain does not become overloaded with too much information. In a radio analogy, GABA is like the tuner that limits reception to a single frequency while blocking out dozens of others. So, again, I'm going to paraphrase. People who meditate, and let's say who can really go into a deep meditation, have high GABA levels. So you're able to focus and filter out the world. So go the other end of the spectrum. She claims in here that when people have a near-death experience, the GABA level is off. So there's somewhere in when you become more aware, you have lower GABA levels, or extremely high GABA levels. So for me, as somebody who's intuitive, I've been really meditating on this, about this state of GABA. And I did some research about GABA, and there actually are herbs that quieten the brain and help you sleep, mm-hmm. Relax, and I had no idea. Dr. Mike. Of course it's Dr. Mike in the chat. Mm-hmm. Its main job is to calm down neural activity so that you're able to relax and focus. Well, relax anyway. But the more GABA you have, the easier it is to focus on one thing. So it either shoots up or it comes down. So when you want to calm down, the GABA goes up. That makes sense? Kind of mm-hmm. how it goes up and down. Her theory is that our brain is kind of like a computer. So likened to that. But we can't possibly store all that and be aware of all that and call on information and memories and everything at any given time. So what we do is we're going into our super consciousness. And that's where she believes in her theory and how she proves to her believable science that consciousness is non-local, meaning we also exist outside of our body, outside of our brain. And we're accessing the so-called Akashic Record, universal hive mind, however you want to put it, much like the internet accesses the cloud.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where it's stored. And again, the levels of GABA, you know. So as a reader or an intuitive, I still haven't quite figured out, because I have, since I went through menopause, Michael, I have a hard time sleeping. So that would also mean to say that the GABA levels are lower. Now, I have not experimented with taking a GABA supplement, and I may do that, because why not? we'll just, do another experiment on my brain. But I don't want it to interfere with my intuition. And I've often had difficulty with people who do light therapy, noise therapy, tuning fork therapy, because it's not my frequency. But more importantly, maybe it's also not my frequency in my brain.
Mm-hmm.
So again, I want to loop back to that, in the event they can prove this. And again, this is a fiction book. And he claims most of the science is real. There's one other thing I want to mention here, because she does talk about psychedelics like mescaline, LSD, psilocybin. Let me just scroll down here. They trip, as she's saying, many drug trips include out-of-body experiences. And she wondered what the GABA response would look like when that happened. And so, of course, it decreased her GABA levels. So if you're tripping on drugs and you're going out there, and she's explaining how your reality becomes bigger, more greater. In other words, the awareness. So there's a reality within a reality, because we're only looking at it through a certain dimension. But it changes its dimensional shapes and expands reality if you reduce the GABA levels.
Hmm.
So I'm not sure if using intuition heightens the GABA or my GABA is lower. That's where I'm a little bit confused in the study, and I have more research to do myself. But it's such an interesting topic to think that I'm a believer that we're connected, like there's a great soul mind, but the spirit is just an expression of that soul, that we're living simultaneously in our consciousness in the universe, that we're all glued together somehow. That's kind of my thing. And I just see this one line. She says, "You're not hallucinating on the drugs. You're actually seeing more of reality." And so when I tune in, as I call it, and it's in a very relaxed state, I see more and bigger possibilities, pathways, activities, energy. And oddly enough, my best way, because all of my work is remote now, my best way is to tune in by a birthday, and I tune in by numbers, looking at cycles. And it only takes me about 60, 90 seconds, to calculate the numbers. And I don't know, it's like plugging in, like you would see computer programming.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of see that as in the ethers, like consciousness is non-local. Because there's no other explanation for it to be local, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, I find the whole thing, I know I was a runaway train there for a minute, Michael, but what do you think about that?
I'm sorry, what were we talking about? No, I think it's a very interesting I think it. I lean towards it, you know, so. But I'm always going to play the devil's advocate because I like to have fun. I do lean towards it, but I don't think it's the only explanation, but I think it is the most likely one. I think that we do connect in some meaningful way. We can all feel connected to the tendrils that underlie everything in reality. I like what you're saying, you know, when it comes to, you were relaying the ideas about the human mind being like a computer of sorts. And I think that's true. I think I've said it before, I'll say it again. We are a biochemical machine. We are a robot of a different sort. We have programming, we have software, we have things that goes in our DNA, it's mathematical, all these things. You know, it lends itself to this whole simulation theory, which also explains nothing because it doesn't say how the people that, you know, the things that created the simulation, how they came to be. But I will say, I like the idea, you touched on this as well, that we plug into consciousness. You know, like I think that just like we're a biochemical machine that can have consciousness, I think when you have something that can be aware of its surroundings and, you know, even better self-aware, I think that you could say that cloud of consciousness that exists in the cloud, right, the internet metaphor, plugs into it and that it can, you know, exist in this different reality. I do not think that what people see when they're tripping is a deeper layer of reality. I think that it can be for some, but I think it is deeply intertwined with the psyche of the person that's going through it. I think if you can't trust people to accurately relay information to the point where eyewitness testimony is almost meaningless unless it's a certain kind, I don't know that I would trust them to also accurately interpret what they're seeing, even if it were another blended layer of reality and things. I do think it can be sometimes, but I just, in my anecdotal experience of knowing people that have gone through these things and what they describe, it ties in very much to their personality, what they're grappling with, their fears and things like this, which I guess argue it is reality. It is true. It's just, it is a metaphor of reality, right? It is another way to look at it, to understand it. Like, you know, art has real value that, you know, it changes from person to person, right? It's that kind of ethereal thing, that abstract thing that exists in what you could call a shared consciousness or a link, right, to the Akashic Record or something like that. But no, I've always toyed with the idea that we are, you know, non-linear, non-corporeal beings that exist outside of time, space, and that we like to plug in every now and again as almost like a vacation. Mm. If you never have a beginning and an end, yeah, what better way to get away than, you know, plug into something that does. But, you know, it is a fascinating topic and idea. And I gotta say, I do love me some Dan Brown too. I enjoy him as an author. I'm hesitant, like everything you said about what you read in there. Well, yeah, I can go along with that. I am always hesitant when it comes to what Dan Brown puts at the beginning of his books, because while they make the story tantalizing, like the whole stuff about the Da Vinci Code, it was all kind of flubbed. I mean, he says it's true, but he can because it's fiction. But still, some of the underpinning ideas are fascinating. He wrote a book when it was talking about a meteorite that brought life to Earth. A very real topic. Fascinating. I love it. What you talk about, this very real topic, and he uses it in his fiction. I love it. But, you know, take it with a touch of salt. Just a little EBD sprinkling. But, that being said, the idea has a core value. I hadn't really, you know, I when you said GABAs, first off, all I can think about is Gabba Gabba, which I think is like a kid's thing. But second, I'd heard about it before, but this is really insightful. And again, when it comes to, you know, you take certain substances, it has this reaction, kind of brings me back to that whole biochemical machine. But again, I do think that consciousness is separate. And I wanted to touch on this. There's so many things that I had in my mind that are just, they're gone now. But because I was thinking about it before we started too, and I can't remember them all. But one thing that I remember that I wanted to touch on is the analogy of a computer and a person. In a computer, you have hardware, right? You have the physical things that make it happen. So that could be your genetics, your body, the brain.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that, you know, you cut certain parts of the brain out, you behave differently. That is the hardware, right? You have the software. The software and the operating system, right? That is the instinct. That is the all of the things that come downloaded into us on how to behave, how to act. You know, it's all right there. Then on top of that, you have the user. And the user would be the consciousness, right? And that would be something that would be non-local. So, you know, that's my interpretation of the soul, frankly, is the user of this biochemical robot. You know, essentially, we are a being of energy that's piloting a meat mech around the world, you know? It's just one of those things. And I think that's why I think that if you can create something as sophisticated as the machine that we are, and what we would call artificial.
Oh, I know you're gonna freak me out here, aren't you?
Why can't it? Why?
I know
why can't
AI.
It?
Yeah.
And you know, it just is what it is. But
okay, I'm starting to change my mind about relatively conscious AI. I am.
It's gonna happen fast.
Oh man, it does kind of freak me out. You know, that's probably my resistance to it.
Oh yeah, no doubt. I mean, me too. It's scary. You know, somebody was pointing out that they think it's going to be a little bit more like Star Wars. And you know why? Because people are going to program robots to not be perfect because, you know, they want the foils and things. We have no idea. And that is terrifying, but it's also beautiful because there's so many possibilities. There's so many different directions we can take in life in this society of ours.
Understanding how GABA relates to consciousness and that they can measure, if it all's true, if they can measure when you're leaving your body, how the GABA drops. And I mean, it would make sense a lot of things would drop, Michael, but it's from the brain when the brain is dead.
Mm-hmm.
Before I lose this in the chat, Dr. Mike has also said, like Audra was saying, having a hard time meditating, or was that Donna? Oh, anyway, of how to, you know, what does she need? He says GABA is made from, your brain makes GABA from glutamine.
Mm-hmm.
But he also goes on to say, so Timothy Leary was correct. And that would be Ram Dass, and there's a whole bunch. And for the record, LSD, there's so many different agents that were used back in the 60s and 70s to treat a lot of illnesses and a lot of mental illnesses, and very successfully, I might add. It was only when the Reagans came in that it was say no to drugs, and all of the marijuana research, all that went to there's a huge big lab in Israel where all of the studies are done for how certain drugs affect the brain and the mind. And that's where they could, CBD oil can be extracted. All that research was done overseas.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then slowly, of course, in Canada, it's now legal.
Mm-hmm.
But, and I think in the States, medicinally in some states.
Most. There's a lot of states. There's more than a handful that have it fully legalized recreationally. But most states have some form of medical marijuana at this point.
Yeah. So it is, you know, a lot of these agents, and I'm going to call them agents, chemical agents otherwise, are used to affect the brain in different ways. But for me, I mean, it was an epiphany. Of course, I love learning new stuff, is about the GABA levels. So this amino acid, how it rises and lowers. And, it's just fascinating. Dawn is asking, she questioned if non-local consciousness could explain Alzheimer's and dementia in general. No, those are other other pathways and chemicals in the brain that are diminished or that's a different thing.
If
so,
I can just jump in, I would say that makes me think about again. The hardware's damaged, frankly. I mean, you know, and again, the user cannot access certain parts of our, you know, our Mac because we just, you know, the consciousness can't filter through the way that it wants to, right? It doesn't have access to it. Again, it's that soul that just, you know, we are a being of energy, but we're still limited by the physical parameters of this world, at least in some ways.
You know, again, the brain is such, it's such a mechanism, you know, I know, look, in your M2, Dr. Kelly talks a lot about 100 billion whatever, you know, things going on in the brain at one time. Mm-hmm. But what we're focusing on, so this is where, how, you know, what is the filtering system mm-hmm. and how is it then that some of us can tune in, tune out, have different experiences, altered states of reality? I know you're saying you don't necessarily agree, Michael, but I have had experience of what I would say mm-hmm. are expanded realities.
Oh, no, I'm very open to it being possible that people can see that way, but I, I'm not saying that all or maybe even most of those are that. I think that there's a lot that have nothing to do with reality and more to do with the fear, which is real for that person. Yeah, but
I agree. I can't disagree with that because everyone is going to view something differently. Based on their fears, you know, not just to mention predispositions to things, mm-hmm. you know, epigenetic memory, the list is long, mm-hmm. Personality disorders, you know.
So,
the perception would be completely individual. But that's where if anybody is going to consider to try something, you have to get into a medical care and make sure it's monitored. And I don't know where you do that except South America and get ayahuasca, you know. And that's why a lot of people but I know someone who had lived in South America for a long time and did too much ayahuasca. And it took a long time to come back into this world. It's like a detachment disorder, you know, like something went amiss. Mm-hmm. and at least he knew it, you know, and got help for it. Cause yeah, he won't do that again. So you gotta be really careful if you're gonna start altering the mind in any way. I don't like drugs myself, so. You know,
well,
I have to
coffee, right? You at least take coffee.
Yeah. Okay. Of course.
That's good.
I just came across a thing too, where nicotine is often used, like in its pure form, is used for things like dementia.
Huh.
I know.
What do you know? You know,
so because it stimulates something in the brain.
Right. Because again, you know, it's fascinating the kind of ways that we can turn certain switches on and off. Dr. Mike has said in the chat, the brain is the most complex machine in the universe. I agree. You would also, and this has kind of stirred something I wanted to talk about earlier too. And I know we're getting late, so we're going to probably wrap it here. I'm going to say this and I'll throw it to you and then maybe we can go some cards. But, there are something along the order of 100 billion, different neurons in your brain that make connections with other neurons. So trillions of different synaptic pathways. Immense. And this mm-hmm. is an idea that's been going around a long time, what I'm about to kind of get into. But you look at galactic filaments and, you know, the shape of the known universe that we can at least perceive. Mm-hmm. Galactic filaments are those strands of galaxies that coalesce and move around. You know, if you were to, and these are, you know, obviously we don't have a full view, we can only see what we can see. But if you look at the idea and the theory, you take it to its extent, and you look at, you know, artistic interpretations, gosh darn, it looks like a brain. It really does. You know, we're talking about shared consciousness. You could argue that the known universe is a brain unto itself, right? And again, mm-hmm. that's where we can come back to that scale. Our body itself is a universe unto itself. Infinite. And then there are just layers of reality upon layers of reality upon layers of reality. And we, at our present stage of development as a species, we cannot see it, at least not in this form. You know, I can't say what comes next, but we can get a glimpse of that great mystery. And I tell you, that is a wonderful thing itself. So that's what I'm going to finish on for this. I'm going to throw it over to you.
I know Jeff early on said he wanted a card. Anybody else, please put your name in the chat. But Audra just offered, Oregon's been doing medically guided psilocybin trips since 2020, first in the USA. There's a group here that's also, psilocybin is a mushroom. For those who don't know, they've been trying to get a lot. There's some testing here now. Wendy says the magic mushroom. Oh, it's legal in California as well. I didn't know. So just, again, I would just, all I want to say is, you know, implement a little caution if you're going to do that. But listen, it's a really interesting topic. It Review is. Your M2, and if you haven't got to M2 yet, look forward to it.
And do
research.
Absolutely. And also, disclaimer, we here at ICMH are not encouraging anybody to do any kind of illicit substances or anything like that. And we are not giving any medical advice either.
No.
Let's just go ahead and we're going to timestamp when I said this for future legal matters. But,
is somebody messaging you, Michael?
No. No, that's my own general fear of liabilities and things. And also, you know, it's not legal everywhere. And, you know, debates about whether it should be or not be, you know, to be had. But that being said, I don't, you know, want to go out there telling people to do something that could get them in trouble or could harm them. So I have to throw that out there, you know, that, you know, don't just, you know, listen to this and then go on to do something. No, if you're going to do something, you know,
be smart about it.
Yes, be smart about it. Be wise about it. And don't just take our word for it, which I think is good advice for anything.
When I was young, I experimented with things, though I can admit that. I never liked it because I didn't feel like I had control. Mm-hmm. And I'm a control freak of myself. I don't care about others. I like to be in my own right mind.
Right.
And I tell you, I know we have, you can get ready. I'm going to draw a card for Jeff here too. But the first time I did a complete channeling of a spirit, I can tell you exactly when it was too, in 1976. I was outside my body channeling this woman's dead husband. When I was telling her things, nobody knew. But when I came to, it's like I was remote viewing my body.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, no, that'll never happen again. No, you can't have me that way. I have to be present. You give me the information. But no, I'm not letting that happen again. So that's what I mean by that kind of control. I don't need to be a sideshow for anybody, and not going to happen. So it'll never happen again. Anyway, yeah, a lot of these other people who claim to be channeling things all the time, I can go with it. Others, it's too general.
Right.
So, yeah. Dr. Mike has offered Oregon, Colorado, and clinical trials, NYU, map sites, etc. He said where. Just saying you can look it up if that's something that you're interested in. But please be guided with it. Be careful.
Yeah.
All right. What do you got for Jeff, Michael? Inner Oracle Self-Discovery card.
All right. Dr. Jeff, I have for you number 43, expediency. Timing is everything. Some things call for expediency. Others require us to slow down. If you have a sudden problem, you can take care of it now, or you can suffer longer and still take care of it later. It takes courage to face important matters when timing and opportunity avails, and wisdom to know when to slow down to assess the correct actions before acting promptly. For success in anything, do what you should do when you should do it.
Oh, you got the chariot, Jeff. I like that. This is a really good time for you to keep moving forward. The chariot, you're in control of both the negative and the positive. At least you're a good manager of it. And it's an active energy. Now, for those of you who don't know, I love promoting Jeff because I really like your videos, Jeff. Blind Outdoorsman. Find him on YouTube now, I guess. Instagram, Facebook. You know, Jeff is just taking you through his life. He built a deck not long ago, and man, he still has a very, very limited amount of sight, seeing shadows at a particular angle, but that's slowly fading too. So he's building skills as he goes while he loses his sight. And he's open about it, honest, and I'm a fan, I tell you. So.
Absolutely.
All right, we have Kevin.
All right, Kevin, I have for you number one, perfection.
Yeah.
Number one, perfection. Always remember that you are perfect just as you are, a perfect work in progress, always changing and growing. Today is a reflection of past choices. Tomorrow is changeable by choices made today. This card may indicate that a situation is either perfect or not perfect for you. Embrace all mistakes as they are vital to your growth while striving for a better future. Reflect to see what contributes to your perfect journey and move forward gracefully.
Well, the Page of Clubs or the Page of Wands is a communicator. It's also about changes and perfection. You know what I get from this intuitively, Kevin, is whatever was said may not be true today. It was true then, but not true now. Like somebody could have changed their mind, or there's something that has changed that changes the communication and the delivery and the information. So I want to say, be prepared that things are changing even as we speak, but I want to say also in a good way. You know, clubs are good. Usually bringers of good news in some respect. So I'm going to go with that. So I, you know, stay on your toes and roll with the show, you know. It's like, well, that wasn't the way it was last week. Okay. Oh, all right, Donna.
Donna, for you, I have wild card number 5. Don't hate. A low energy signature refuses to learn more in order to better accept and understand others. Hate grows in this low frequency. The result is fear, demonstrated as the need to criticize and control others. This is how wars begin, whether it's in relationships, within families, or between countries. Understanding does not mean one has to agree. It means rising above the low frequency to do no harm and do right to yourself and others.
Well, the Emperor is an authority figure or someone who thinks he is. But in this day and age, it could be a woman also with very masculine energy. So I don't know why that just popped out of my mouth, Donna. I think, you know, we can dislike, we can have an opinion, but it's putting things into a perspective, I suppose. Look, it's really easy to hate something. Or someone, or even the idea of it. Michael, I have this struggle all the time.
I tell you, I have it easy. I respect that. I respect you and your ability to intuit.
You know, it's like you have disdain for something or someone, or, you know, no respect. But don't turn it inward. I guess, Donna, the thing is, don't let it eat you. You can recognize an emotion, recognize a feeling, and then you have to release it and decide who you are. And that's really the task of when it comes to authority of any kind, when we think someone or something might have power over us or affecting us. and just have to decide what kind of action we want to take. Fair enough. But don't let it eat your insides or change you.
Mm.
You let them win when that happens.
I like how you said that.
Mm.
Good stuff.
All right, Don is next. Good to see you here, Don.
Don, I have you down for number 22. Think for yourself. Better understanding one's own mind brings one closer to honesty and self-responsibility. Thinking for yourself prevents being swayed by the potentially unhealthy thinking of others, as well as outside popular beliefs simply for popularity's sake. If you don't think for yourself, you sacrifice your identity for someone else's identity. This may be a time to exercise critical thinking in order to best determine and listen to your own truth.
The Four of Swords, or the Four of Spades, is a... it's a timeout, basically. I think in the books it says constraint or repose. I often say timeout. It's a rest time, the thing for yourself. So if there's something that you're at odds with or something you're uncertain about, I think that it's just a good time to take a minute. You know, when I'm challenged with something that's unfamiliar or uncomfortable, I say, can I think about that and get back to you? Or, I really need to process this for a minute. We don't have to interact or react to any given situation. So the thinking for yourself is you're kind of taking a moment to process. And take the time for yourself, Donna. You know, Don, sorry. I just saw Donna's name in the chat. I'm sorry about that, Don. So it's just, time out. Be kind to yourself. You know, just review everything, and it's okay to say, you know what, I've changed my mind. It's okay to say that.
Always.
Yep.
It is the mark of
yep.
an intelligent individual that can change their mind on something.
Yeah, unless you're telling your kids that, and your kid says, well, I based my whole philosophy in life on that. You can't change your mind, no. I learned. So. All right, Audra.
Audra, tonight I have for you number 11, awareness. Every human being has a responsibility to increase their awareness for fulfillment and peaceful coexistence. People generally do the best they can according to their current level of awareness, knowledge, experience, and resources. This card may indicate that an increased awareness in some area is needed. Continue to increase your awareness of self and others through observation, acquired knowledge, and a positive attitude.
I have the Two of Hearts in this regard. Two Hearts doesn't have to be an intimate one. It can be, but it's about partnering, joining up, an agreement of some kind. And I think you're being diligent to stay aware and not bend your philosophies or your, you know, not compromise yourself in any way, Audra. But I feel really good about this alliance that you have going on, kind of a new allegiance growing. So I'm going to say, yeah, go with it. Absolutely. If you needed an affirmation on something, you got one. I don't. That's what I get from that.
Good stuff.
Oh, Wendy, you're back. Nice to see you, Wendy.
Love having you. And you were missed. I know that we our Comcast got knocked out. Well, mine did anyway. So I couldn't get online the week prior, and you know, we missed you last week, so happy to have you back. To those that haven't heard yet, if they're new to the broadcast, Wendy is our card keeper, and she keeps track of those, so we appreciate what you do. And for you tonight, I have number 5, Law of Control. Differences are inevitable. Diversity is desirable. The Law of Control says you cannot change or control others, but you can have a positive impact or influence. Control only that to which you are entitled to control. Do not give unsolicited advice. Respect that everyone has the same rights to self-creation and decisions. You can accept present circumstances as they are, lobby for change, or leave.
Well, the Four of Diamonds, the Four Pentacles, is often referred to as the miser. But I can see it as, you know, laying claim to what's yours. So the law of control. Generally, it has something to do with finance, and it might be, but that could be an investment of time, energy, like your own time and energy, your own sphere of influence. And so it's that, you know, just, I think Wendy knows what I mean. I'm trying to say here, just taking care of your own energy, your own finances, your own life. And she just wrote in the chat, I've been laying low, really. Yeah, well, laying low is all part of that. Being a little bit miserly about your life, yourself, you know, and where you are. And I think we all go through ebbs and tides of that, and that's a good thing to do once in a while. So you're in control, and that law of control. But in this case, it's a... in your own way, on your own terms. Not a bad thing.
All right. And I think we have one last card for, yeah, if I'm saying that correctly. I'm always paranoid about pronunciations. I know I butcher it all the time, so I appreciate everybody's grace. But I have number 3, be who you are, walk your own path. Number 3, a lot of single digits I'm seeing tonight. All right. You are a uniquely designed, one-of-a-kind, universal being, equally entitled to all good things, the same as others. Drawing this card encourages you to be who you are and to walk your own path, not compare yourself with others. Give yourself permission to accept who and what you are. Move forward in the direction you need to take that best fulfills yourself.
The Two of Clubs is all about the future, what you see for yourself in the future. I would go so far as... Elias, to say maybe you're walking different in the world, or you've been going through some inner changes, and how are you going to move forward, and what kind of goals are you working toward, and how you're planning for that. You know, it's really always about navigating life, but being as much of yourself as possible. I think we're all guilty of having made compromises, moving over too far to make room for somebody else or something else, giving up pieces of ourselves. And, you know, the closer we get to living our own life for who we are, like who our true nature is, really the more peaceful and content we become with how we move through life. So I hope that makes sense to you, Aaliyah. I would say you're on the right path. You're in the right frame of mind as I see it. So
very
good.
Nice. All right.
Well, as far as I know, I don't see any other names, Michael.
I just was thinking of
I've had a really
myself,
good.
Yeah.
I've had a really good. Of course, this topic excites me.
Oh, so. It is. I mean, it kind of cuts to the core of the question, right? You know, metaphysics. We're trying to understand what is it to be aware in this existence, right? And that is such an essential part of it. But no, it has been a great discussion. Yeah, it always is. It always is, you know? God, there's so many provocative, you know, things when it comes to the consciousness and where it resides. But you know, it is that time of the evening, and as we begin to wrap up for the night, I can't say anything other than that, but I want to pass it off to you to finish
this off. I always say, I like to end the program nowadays by saying, don't let them push you around out there. But I want to say a little addendum. We all have a warrior inside.
Mm-hmm.
And you bring out the warrior when it's important. And, you know, fight for what you know is true for you, but do it in a constructive, productive way that's good for you. And when you encounter the cucka, don't let us change who you are.
Good advice.
You know? get to know who you really are and stand true in that. So, and another way of saying, don't let them push you around out there.
I love it.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much. And any thoughts on next week?
Oh, sure. I was all pumped about this week. I have no idea, Michael. Maybe we'll just have an open discussion. Anybody have any ideas? We'll just, whatever comes to mind next week, open discussion time.
I think we could definitely do that. It's been a minute since we've done an open discussion one. At some point, I'd love to have a conversation about free will versus determinism. We've gotten there a bunch of times before, but yeah, I like that one too. So,
yeah,
we got some good stuff coming up, and we can't wait to see everybody. And please join us next week. We love seeing you live. But if you can't, we get it. But we do love seeing you live. So please join us if you have a chance. And if not, catch up with us in the archives. But until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.